Hi, and good evening, everyone, from Phoenix, Arizona. We are here in America, sort of the night before. We have it listed as 5 a.m. GMT, Universal Time, and we're switching back and forth because it makes it easier for some people to attend. It's quite late on the East Coast, 10 o'clock here, so 12 o'clock midnight on the East Coast. And California time maybe is still reasonable. But you can always, you know, if you miss the broadcast, or rather the webinar, you can pick it up on Makara. And if you want to, as it were, meditate with the group on our particular glamour selection, then you can do that. That's open to you. So Olivia, Tuya, and I welcome you to this effort to do our best with the esoteric approach to the dissipation of glamour. Of course, there are external approaches where we simply use the mind and try to clarify the consciousness of the people that are involved in the glamorous perception. And sometimes people, I'm sure, have used that with respect to ourselves, and we have sat down to reason about something that we see in an unreasonable way. So that is useful. But the Tibetan has given us an interior meditative approach, which is really, I would say, to be followed if we possibly can, and important in these days of when all truth seems relative and people are less hesitant than usual to lie. You know, it's said that the devil is the father of lies. And another way of saying that is that the personality and its vehicles want things their own way and will distort the truth in order to maintain the possibility of having things in its own way. It's a self-protective mechanism, and it doesn't allow the clear seeing of the soul to come through. But we're told in the Bible that the truth will set us free. We're also told that the truth hurts, you know, and there are aspects of the personality that don't want to be exposed to that truth. So I suppose you can see my screen. I hope so. Is that correct? I think so. Let's see.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Brett. Thank you. And of course, we want to thank our technical crew here, Brett and Joe and BL, for standing by always and somehow making sure that we get through these webinars in one piece. Let's just have a little alignment. Wherever we may be, you know, and we are scattered all over the globe, this kind of time makes it easier, I think, for the people in Australia and New Zealand to join. And wherever our geographical apparent position seems to be, rather than divided, we are united in consciousness. And our consciousness is as one. Each one of us presents a certain field of awareness which is drawn into the group field of consciousness. And we are stronger because we do this work together. Group meditation is always of a certain potency. It's interesting that DK, you know, everyone was responsible for a group meditation and their own individual meditation in his early groups. And if you had to drop a meditation in order to do, let us say, the reappearance of the Christ meditation every week or the attracting money for hierarchical purposes, it was the individual meditation that was dropped and not the group meditation. So we offer ourselves as an instrument on the inner side of things, working esoterically to help bring about the dissipation of glamour. We'll have an om. Well, we've talked about now a number of types of fear. This is our 55th program, and we always have some readings of a paragraph or two or three from Master DK. We've talked about the fear of death, fear of the future, fear of physical pain, or pain in general. We've talked about fear of failure, and I suppose if we're honest with ourselves, the number of fears is legion. There are many, just as there are so many glamours that, you know, fit outside the normal glamours listed and which DK tried to articulate, formulate for the person that he was advising in a letter he might be writing to that person. So we have to be honest and very discerning, I would say. You know, in the midst of all kinds of input into our consciousness, we need to mostly scan the subconscious area and see if we can discern the fears which condition our thoughts, our feelings, our behavior in the world. I suppose if we were initiates of the fourth degree, we would have eliminated a great number, well, the customary fears. Excuse me. Would be eliminated. And maybe what took their place would not be fears at all, but would be legitimate concerns on behalf of humanity. But we've been dealing with customary fears that really affect everybody. And fear is said to be, it's kind of a lunar thing. It's kind of related to substance itself and seems to come a lot from the moon chain and maybe from the previous solar system. It's kind of a refusal to go outside a protective ring past not. One doesn't know what one will encounter, but then, of course, the possibility of engaging in unity and love also is eliminated if the fear is indulged. So it's important for us to talk about the elimination of fear. Now, you know, for all that a treatise on white magic might mean to us. It's said to be a treatise on the control of the astral body. I mean, it hears all this, all these magical formulas and so forth. I think it's a book that is many things. It has wonderful advice for the aspirant and disciple. It is really, it is sort of the second of the curricula, the parts of the curriculum of the Arcane School, where they deal with the magical work of the soul, and I think use white magic as the basis. It's a very, very rich book, and one can come back to it all the time, and it's very practical. It offers many things we can't do. We cannot necessarily fulfill these 15 rules of magic at this time, because certain practical operations have not been given to us. But at the same time, there are other factors that we can fulfill. And DK gives them to us here in this discussion of the elimination of fear. So let's read together a little bit and, think as we go along. And maybe you will have some thoughts, some questions, whatever. This is not a section that is so difficult to understand. It's quite straightforward and quite practical. So a real problem, as you realize, lies in the achieving of utter fearlessness. And that word utter is used, and it means very complete. I've mentioned before that the Black Lodge considers it a very bad sign when a disciple is truly fearless, and how it is that the first ray energy helps us become fearless. But, of course, there's different types of fear and fearlessness, and every ray type has its own specific types of fear at first. So all fear, doubt, worry, cast out all fear, all doubt, all hatred, you know, these 15 counsels, turn to page 473. I'll do it, you know, I've mentioned it many times, but I would just say that, let's just say that this is something that all of us should be aware of. And 473, in a treatise on white magic, we have these, 473, we have these 15 counsels, which will make an adept of us if we really follow them and express them. Then we're supposed to cast out all fear, all hate, all greed, look out and up. They're very simple things. But as has been said, it's sometimes the very simplest thing that keeps us away from liberation. So, you know, do review these for yourself. Page 473, so 474, 475, these counsels on the approach to adeptship. So all fear, all doubt and worry, you know, there's this picture by Rorick of the paint of the saint praying, and everything looks quite good, except there's a tiny little serpent that is biting his heel. I guess we all have an Achilles heel, you know, some aspect of vulnerability. His mother held him by the heel as she dipped him in the river that would give him invulnerability, except for the point at which she held him. So fear and doubt, you know, a negative expectation, worry that things will not turn out in a positive manner, which is a kind of a turbulent and recurring negativity with negative image and expectation. All fear, doubt, and worry have to be eliminated. Now, you know, this is something that the advancing disciple really has to take into consideration. It doesn't do for us to be have an astral body that is has the condition of recoil, of uncertainty, of ruminative negativity, you know, giving other words for these three. They have to be eliminated. If this can be done, the development of the inner point of contact, obviously with the soul at first, and the knowledge of how to tap the sources of inspiration. Inspiration comes from the soul. It's the, in a way, the breathing in of the higher energies. This knowledge will increase in a wonderful manner if we can eliminate these negative, repulsive vibrations. And DK, you know, if he uses a word like wonderful, he's given more to understatement than to overstatement, it seems. So there's a great reward if we can be honest enough with ourselves to find the roots of fear, of doubt and worry, and cast them out. So many close the sources of information through an uncontrolled emotional nature. You know, in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, we have to still the vibrations of the astral body and of the mind in order to reflect the true nature of the higher worlds. So this is something we cannot ignore. The astral body can be controlled. It's like the theme of the whole book, in a way. And now he gives us some methods of control, not all of which we should apply, especially the first. Can be controlled, you know, like just getting a hold of yourself, you know, just when you don't necessarily understand what's going on, but you stop it by direct inhibition. This method can be used to advantage by beginners, but it's not the best method to use. It's a bit like, you know, you can build a shell around yourself to apparently protect yourself from external negativity, but it's not the best way because you cut yourself off. The sevenfold method of divine love is a much better way. So he gives us better ways. See, this can lead to the congestion of the astral body. It reacts on the physical body, it leads to congestion of the astral body and to similar condition in the etheric body. It's a holding power, and it doesn't allow the flow. It often produces, what does he say, headache, congestion of the liver, and other disorders. Here he's speaking as a physician, as a healer. You know, he's an expert in that field. I guess it's only under the most extreme circumstances when instantaneous action is required, you know, when the people say, well, get a hold of yourself, you know, and you can do that by direct inhibition if needed. But there are other methods which are more suitable, you know. When we're in an emergency condition, we, you know, can't be going to pieces. And this kind of Vulcanian gripping of the astral body can be temporarily useful as long as not continued over much, because it will lead to these conditions which result from being held rather than to have a free flow between higher sources and the afflicted vehicle, namely the astral body. So he doesn't spend much time with it. He just says it can be used. But another method involves the direct realization, it brings in the mind, right? A direct realization of the issues at stake. And the consciousness that, and we all are here, aren't we? That for a pupil of the master, nothing comes to pass but what can lead to increased knowledge and development and greater usefulness and service. So, you know, sometimes we say, oh, if only this were not happening to me. If only I were not subject to these circumstances. But basically, he says we can use everything. And that will get rid of the tendency to self-pity, which is a source of glamour. It will get rid of the tendency to complain against our fate, to bewail our fate. You know, the attitude, how can I use this? What can I learn from this? And then Master Moria will come in with his statement, obstacles are possibilities. When will you learn this? So somehow we are pupils of the Master, and whatever occurs, we can learn and become more useful in service, sometimes from more difficult and crisis circumstances. Fear with many is not based on timidity, you know, this kind of weak shrinking back, a paradoxical statement, but is often based on a mental condition, such as, let's say, pride, you know, the three heads of the Hydra, the last three heads, pride, separativeness, and cruelty, particularly focus in the mental body, you know, with pride, it's possible circumstance in which your standing will be reduced in your own eyes and in the eyes of others, your reputation will suffer, you will seem to be less than you think you should be, you know. There are many subtle forms of fear, and they can be linked to the nine heads of the Hydra, but one of them is called fear itself. Those who are becoming polarized in the mental body, now, you know, with polarization, we have to be careful because I would use here the word focused in the mental body because polarization occurs between the second and third initiation about midway, true mental polarization. But, well, the process is moving forward, but it's a fairly advanced condition to be truly mentally polarized. But we're on our way here. Those who are becoming polarized in the mental body find their fears allied to the intellect. Their thinking increases the fear. I think we can maybe say that, you know. Their thinking increases the fear. They are therefore harder to overcome than the fears of a person polarized or focused in the astral body. If we were polarized in the astral body, and many of us are sort of, you know, halfway in between that and the mental body, then the intellect can be brought in, brought to bear on the elimination of fear in the astral body. But the mental types, you know, you always have to reach one higher. This is interesting. No, the old saying, no problem can be truly solved on its own level. You need a higher perspective. The mental types have to call directly on the ego. And this would be what we normally call the soul, and soul on its own plane, or even the spiritual triad, but at first the soul on the higher mental plane. The mental types have to call directly on the ego, for always the higher must be called in to deal with the lower. You know, there are soul problems too. Maybe people don't want to give up their causal body, their egoic lotus, which has served them so well. Then they have to be in a position to focus impersonally within the spiritual triad in order to allow that relinquishing of the ego or the causal body, egoic lotus, found on the higher mental plane. So the mental types, and so many of them really don't know how to do this because, you know, they disbelieve in these dimensions of nature. They have to call directly on the ego, for always the higher must be called in to deal with the lower. And on it goes into some very interesting situations in which even the monad would have to be called in to resolve some things that cannot be resolved at a lower level. Hence the necessity for always keeping the channel clear. Alignment, in a way, is the beginning. Alignment is the end. So now he's talking here about, you know, in a way, in reference to the very first thing he mentioned, do not crush out fear. Crushing is a Vulcanian thing. It's the application of the will forcefully to a situation. It's a gripping of a situation. and there's a lot of rigidity in it. It's not the best way. And I would say, as he says, beginners and those emergency situations where there's no time for anything else. Force it out by the dynamic power of substitution. We can think about that. That's a desirable way of eliminating fear, something else of a more positive nature, some thought which is much more conducive to accessing inspiration will come in. And Alice Bailey did a lot of emphasis about the power of substitution, not hanging on to the old thought form, which is leading us only into negativity. So, and this leads then, he is saying, to a third suggestion, and that we in the group should cure the fear habit. Interesting, because it can be repatterned, reconditioned, and it's simply a habitual response, and it even comes from the animal kingdom when we were demonstrating through the unconsciously, unself-consciously through the animal vehicle. I've seen this fear in animals, tremendous. I've seen this. And it's very pitiful to behold sometimes. It's there. It's there. And it's not something that only the human being has. It's built into matter itself. So here's another method. You seem perhaps you have to have time to do this, or at least to practice it, so that it can be done more quickly. A direct method of relaxation, concentration, stillness, and here's the occult activity, flushing the entire personality with pure white light. So DK, when accessing the soul, he sometimes works with the yellow light, yellowish orange, and sometimes he works with the pure white light in this particular case, the pure white light. So now we're being given a specific method. You are, we will say, in a state of panic. I wonder when's the last time we can remember ourselves in a state of panic, but surely we all have the experience. Suggestions of great unpleasantness are crowding in. Your imagination is running riot, and your mind enforces the riot. All kinds of worries, unpleasant possibilities, almost the certainty that something negative will occur. Things are out of control, and negativity is running the show. Forget not that the fears of an emotional person are not so potent as yours. He's talking to his disciples who are developing the degree of mental polarization. Having a strong mental body, as disciples must, you clothe your fear reactions with mental matter, highly vitalized, which causes a powerful thought form to be created. This is a haunting thing. It comes back and it can terrorize literally the creator. This thought form, this circulates between you and the feared event. The old saying that a coward dies a thousand times before his death and a hero dies but once. So always rehearsing, always seeing the negative event occurring, and being in a state of a great upset because of it. Now, the method. Realizing this, you will proceed to seek quietness. It's very much the same as in the Yoga Sutras, right? I mean, we must still these vehicles if the higher reflection, the higher inspiration is to come in. Excuse me. You will relax your physical body. Endeavor to quiet your astral body as far as may be, because there's a lot of trouble there. And to steady the mind. The will, obviously, is needed to do this. Then, visualizing yourself, the personality, in this case you consider yourself to be the personality, perhaps as the soul in incarnation. So you visualize yourself, the personality, the soul, and the master. And he, the master, at the apex of the triangle. This is very similar to the kind of thing that DK has us do when we wake up in the morning. We visualize a downward pointing triangle at the top of our head, and the soul and master on a kind of baseline on the higher mental plane. Anyway, it's a similar triangle, but the master here is at the apex. And then you will, with deliberation, call down a stream of pure white light and pouring it through your lower vehicles, you will cleanse all that inhibits. Yes, continue this process until you realize that the needed work is accomplished. At first, you may have to do it many times. Later, just once will suffice. And later, the whole process may be needless because you will have achieved conquest, the conquest of fear. Okay. I think maybe that's as far as we'll go right now, because next we'll take up fears related to the work to be done. So up to this point, it's about fears connected with the personality, and you're using the love aspect, and you're flooding yourself with love and light. He's got some very definite methods here, and we should really memorize them. So this will be the end of Dissipation of Glamour Initiative number 55, and today is the 10th. Well, I mean, it will be the 10th. It's the 10th in London. So, okay, and then we'll continue with that. Beginning of Dissipation of Glamour number 56, then it'll be on the 17th of November, in another 7 days. I think that's correct. So let's just practice something. Let's just practice something for a moment. Now, we're not in a state of panic. Presumably right now, we're not in a state of panic, okay? But just think of some kind of fear which is connected with your personality, you know. It can be like fear of death, fear of the future, fear of pain, fear of failure. Those are the four that he seems to offer us to consider. Just take a moment and see if you can locate any kind of fear which is operative in your subconscious mind. Maybe your only fears, maybe you do not fear for the personality whatsoever. Maybe you only fear for the work and will it be accomplished and so forth. Well, all right, maybe. Or maybe there are personality fears. This is just a, you know, a little suggestion. You can work with this. So now we do what he says. The quietness of the astral body, you know, we're in a relaxed position, the quietness of the astral body, the steadiness of the mind, and you see this triangle, the personality, what we call our soul, our one of our higher selves on the higher mental plane, visualize. That's usually functioning through the egoic lotus, and then the master, whoever he may be. And then take a look at that fear and why you may have it. And bring down the pure white light going through the soul and through the lower vehicles. Imagine through the mind, through the astral body, through the etheric physical body, pouring it down, cleansing. Just imagine. The cleansing power of the white light directed from the Master through our limited soul nature, okay, on the higher mental plane, and into every vehicle of our personality, cleansing away flushing away this particular fear in relation to the personality which we may have located. Now, you know, this isn't so much about reasoning. This is an occult technique. We are working with soul light and with light from the Master who's focused within the spiritual triad. And it's the work of the light that is creating the diminishment of the fear. Now we have to get used to these techniques. We have to be able to call on them whenever needed, when we're also in a state of doubt, of worry, of negative anticipation. They have to be second nature to us, and we'll call upon them. We'll get used to that, and we'll have these techniques at our fingertips. There are many practical things we have to do if we are to become adept in the field of practical occultism. We need a lot of theoretical occultism before that, so we really know what we're doing, and then we have to practice the methods. So next time when we get together, we're going to read about maybe even more important fears, which relate to the work we're trying to do and even to occult attacks, which maybe are the most terrifying. I've had friends, you know, who are deeply in the work, and they are horrified by the sense of the presence of those malevolent powers, which can be directed towards disciples accomplishing something, you know. I mean, every time we have a fear, or we can't think that it's an occult attack, because that would be to play right into the field of glamour. Most of those who are imagining that they're under attack and so forth, that is a glamorous thought. But it does happen, and it did happen to some of those who were working in Master DK's group, and I'm thinking of one especially right now. It's RSW. And basically, Master DK said, yes, okay, these attacks, they are occurring, and I could shield you, I could defend you, and thereby you would learn nothing. Okay. So there are peculiar risks in the path of occultism, and it's part of the general courage and bravery to deal with these things, and mostly that bravery is going to come when we have confidence in the inner God, the immortal inner God that we are. It's through misidentification, through mistaken identity, that so many of our fears arise. But, you know, if we're intelligent in being able to identify the particular fear which has the most control over us, we have a good chance of reducing that fear so it is no longer a real obstacle to the kind of contact we want with the higher worlds and the kind of service we could provide if we had contact with the higher worlds. Okay, so there's some wonderful practical advice here, and we'll work on that, right? We'll work on that. Now, I just want to open the floor to any who might like to offer a thought or a question, whatever. And then we'll go on and do our work, our reduction of glamour work. You know, the important thing is that here we are working with the dissipation of the glamour of fear. The idea is that we must not ourselves succumb to the very thing we are trying to dissipate. So we've been given methods, and we can learn to use them. So is there anybody who would like to say anything, offer something? And here I see Vera. Yeah, Vera, go ahead. Go ahead, Vera.
Yeah, good. Hello, Michael. Yes, up till now, when during those these webinars, I was associating the fear as with those extreme type of fears. Like, I have really almost phobia of dogs, or when the adrenaline is pumping and sweating. But as you today explained, there are those more subtle fears, like anxiety, failure of not achieving what I want to. And actually, it's holding me back, and I am limiting my contact. And so I am going to have a look at it properly. So that's really useful.
It sounds good, because, you know, in our discipleship, we're going to have to clean the entire aura. There's just so much leftover stuff, and some of it is not seen. It's just there, and it's having its effect. But we all know that before every one of the initiations, Pluto is active. And Pluto is the great ejecting, cleansing, healing power. So it's not only the big things, because, you know, some of these phobias, yeah, I can understand. They happen because of very terrifying experiences, either in one's present life or previous incarnations, you know. Imagine people who've been buried alive, you know, they're not going to like tight spaces. And people who have been attacked by sharks are pretty wary, you know. And that stays with you, you know, it's a boundary, it's kind of thing where you don't do anything foolish. At the same time, if it prevents you from doing normal things, then it has you, then it's the grip. But it's not only these really big things. We have to deal with those big things if we know what those phobias are. They just don't disappear right away. Although the flushing with the soul energy will definitely help, and it's an occult technique, and maybe not so many psychiatrists are aware of that and use that. You know, they're probably more likely to use the rational mind. But it's not only the big things, it's the little things too that come to light. So indeed, we examine these things that hold us back, because above all, as disciples, we don't want to be held back. We want to use progress onward, driving forward through space, the power of the first ray in relation to the path of initiation. And who can clean it up? Only we can. So it's a good idea to take a close examination. Thank you for your thought, Vera.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and let's see. Okay, are there any, let's see, what else that you might like? I mean, you know, this is so practical. This is so easy to understand. Of course, practicing is another thing. You know, the medicine can be in the medicine cabinet, but if we don't take it, it doesn't do us any good. And DK has offered some quite marvelous, simple, clear methods to enhance our discipleship. We just have to apply them. And certainly if fear is the major dweller on the threshold for our planet, we're going to be having to apply, because anything that holds us back is not desirable. This is a time in history when disciples together really must move forward. So we have to deal with these inhibitions within our nature, and some of them are very subtle, and nobody else sees them. Maybe we see them, and we have to overcome them. Are there any other thoughts that you'd like to offer? Any other questions?
Yes.
Yes. And what would that be, Brett?
We have a written comment from Russ Witha.
Okay, and that, aha, right, there we go. Right. Well, you know, we have many experiences, and we've been through a lot, and we have confronted fears before. The question is, do we do that in a systematic manner? In other words, do we really apply the techniques when the fears come up? So we have to master the techniques. In a way, this is simple stuff, you know. But overcoming the astral body, the formidable astral body, as it is called, it's the only unified vehicle. You know, you've seen that before. The whole idea that The emotional body doesn't have that dotted line. All the mental body and physical body, they are divided vehicles. No, we live in a very astral and later Buddhic solar system. So the astral body is the most powerful of all. So we're going to have all these experiences with the astral body. And the question is, are we successful? Have we really banished fear? And, you know, and some of us can pretend, you know, sort of bravado, we would call it, to banish fear. Pretend. We say, oh, yes, I've done that. And we can act strong, act as if, that's fine. But we haven't done it yet. So we will know when we are successful. Like I said, when you're an initiate of the fourth degree, which is certainly beyond, far beyond any of us, then a very scrupulous understanding of fear will be ours, and we will have been able to really have a totally clean, radiant aura. You know, when you look at this kind of picture here, let's see if I can find it. Yeah. Well, there is a picture of a very unfolded, radiant soul. And that's just before the fourth degree occurs. I don't think any of us look like that on the inner planes. And then when we've done a really, really good job in a systematic manner, systematic, you know, one doesn't just now and then, one finds a fault, a fear, and really applies oneself to the eradication of that fear. So no one is the judge but ourselves, finally, and our own soul. Okay, thanks, Roswitha. Thank you. Any other?
Yes.
It's Catherine, okay?
Yes.
Hi, Catherine. Hi, hi.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. Nice to hear you.
I have a fear of talking on these webinars.
Yes, I can imagine. So do I.
But I just wanted to thank you for the recent Scorpio ritual and airing it out, near the Scorpio full moon, because I think and also it being such good timing with studying this book and studying the about fear and how helpful it is to your rituals, and especially the Scorpio ritual, because that's what it deals with, all the heads of the Hydra, etc. So it's really good timing, and also the opportunity that you open up to so many people through those rituals, like and doing them together in group, at a group form, you know, to be able to do them online at the same time and not just do them individually is extremely potent. And I don't know whether everybody knows, like, how potent they are to do in a group form, and they are really transformational and really magical done in a group form. So I really wanted to thank you very much for that Scorpio ritual. That was amazing. It was really amazing.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine. I'm meditating along with you all the time. You know, I'm right there going through the process. And since my voice has been pre-recorded, I'm free to be able to participate with everybody. And and of course, that particular ritual is more in the nature of a drama, you know, and it has, and I'm thinking back to 1999.
It is a drama.
Yeah, I get to act all the parts. It's so much fun. But I'm thinking back to 1999, you probably were there too when we were on some kind of island doing this Scorpio ritual. And of course, things have progressed since then, and now many people can participate. So I really appreciate you mentioning them. You know, just for those who don't know, Harold Moses and I have been preparing these ritual meditations, which are oratorios, you know, music, drama, the whole bit. And every month we're going to be broadcasting them, and they are meditations, see, so we get to all work together in that aesthetic musical environment and at the same time tackle the issues of the soul as they are found in the particular sign of the zodiac, which is strong at that time. Well, you know, Scorpio is one of the strongest signs. It's so related to humanity. As a matter of fact, the human kingdom has Scorpio as its ruler, you know, especially the human monads. So it's really something intimate to all of us. And I hope you'll have a chance. Next month is the Sagittarius one, and I'll let you know when that will be. It's a little more upbeat, you know, what can I say? Sagittarius is one of those signs where you have freedom, you can run, you can go forward, you see a vision, you can really make progress. Scorpio is a battle, and that's the human condition. So if some of you want to join me and others, you know, like Catherine and others that want to participate in these oratorios, meditative oratorios, that's what they're for, and I'll let you know about them. Yeah, thank you, Catherine. Did you have anything else you
thank
wanted
you.
To? Yep.
No, that'll do. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, some people have had the experience of having to stand up for 3 hours during the presentation of these. they somehow survived because
of or kneel.
Yes, that's right. We have a knee condition. Well, it's meant to produce humility in the group, of course. we rise through kneeling. But anyway, you know, there's been a lot of benefit, I think, over the years in this participation. So what we're trying to do in the Moria Federation now, USR, is to offer you a lot of different approaches that can help you move forward and, you know, round us all out intellectually, intuitionally, aesthetically, so that we, you know, our causal body becomes more and more completed and fulfilled. That's what we're trying to do. Yeah. Well, it sounds like the dragon. Okay. Is there anybody? Thanks, Catherine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joanne has a written question, and then Vera has her hand up.
Okay. So let's see, what do we got here, Joanne? Right. Besides visualizing white light, yeah, of course, we, you know, there's many, many ways to do this, but couldn't we use the breathing techniques as well? Yes, we could, but, you know, I just want to keep it simple. You know, when I get into my third ray, I don't keep it simple. I'm writing all this philosophical stuff, which is hard to understand, but when it comes to these occult techniques, I just want to do what he says at first and make sure that it works. Now later, he gives us certain breathing exercises which connect all of the chakras. If we look in discipleship in the New Age, we'll see kind of a way to raise the breath in the third meditation, chakra after chakra, you know, he gives in some of the meditations a counted method. But so all of that is definitely true, and the breathing techniques, and there are many of them, can enhance our work. But my first obligation is to follow exactly what he says and to do it in the simplest and most direct way possible. And then, you know, after that is just an internalized technique. There will be other things that come along that might add to the power. But, you know, of course, obviously breathing techniques sometimes have to be supervised. He's given a number that we use in the Arcane School, have used in the Arcane School. And he always says when you breathe, you have to think. Because it's not the number of counts of the breath, it's the thought that accompanies these counts, which is of importance. So sometimes I create breathing exercises for myself which have four different thoughts, you know, kind of a lifting towards inspiration, a holding in the field of inspiration, a descent into the field of manifestation, and then a holding, an impressing in the field of manifestation. And then you would have four. Then you would have four, and I just make up the words myself, you know, because he says meaning is what's important at our particular stage of evolution. So that's my perspective on it, Joanne. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, breathing techniques are really important, but he's given us something here that we can work on in a direct manner to expel fear, and he hasn't complicated the issue whatsoever. So that's how I choose to approach it. Anything else that you want to say there? And if I don't hear from you, I'll assume it's okay. Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks, Joanne. Okay, what else, Brett? Let's see.
Vera has her hand up.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay, Vera.
Yeah. I listened to the Libra ritual, and it was like a meditation, celebration, deepening understanding, but I couldn't listen to Scorpio. I wasn't at home. Is there any way I can?
There is. There is.
Yeah.
There is a way. Yeah. And as I say, Harold and I have been working very hard on these things. And if you go to YouTube, you will find 1,740 videos from the Moria Federation USR. And nine of those are completed rituals, including the Scorpio ritual. And you could do that. You can get it. Now, I don't know if the fidelity, you know, when you go to YouTube, it may do things with the sound. I don't know. We work with a very high quality of sound, and we try to preserve it. And YouTube, it may do something else. I'm not sure. But you can go there. Just Moria Federation, and you can find it, and you can use it. And if you don't find it, I'll be happy to send you a download link for it.
Okay.
You know,
so, thank you very much.
If you know some person in Europe who's really likes to work with these rituals said to me, I really enjoyed it, but then I had nightmares. Okay. I guess, you know, I was impersonating the role of each of the heads of the dragon. So I hope I didn't give her nightmares. But of course, when you start dealing with the serious stuff that's in us, it is a little bit, you know, potentially frightening. So anyway, you can find it there. And if not, just let me know and I'll connect you with the source. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Very good, Vera. Thank you. Okay. All right, friends. Look, I think we're at that point. I appreciate your appreciation. Thanks, Rose. And we'll go on with the meditation now. You know, every week we get together. When it's possible and when I'm not traveling, or, you know, maybe one of our team can take over when I am traveling. But we'll keep this going, and because it's very, very important. I don't think the full attack on glamour can be mounted just yet. I do think the planet Vulcan has to be discovered. And I think that the cleansing of the etheric field and the cleaning out of the various courts, as he calls them, courts, C-O-U-R-T, and the distortions we find in the energy and the veils, that has to occur first. The veil of impulsion, chaotic energy, the veil of distortion, exaggeration, minimization, the veil of separation. That's really the cause of illusion in so many ways. And finally, the veil of aspiration itself. We have to work in a rule 10 in the rays and initiations and do a lot of work in the etheric area. And it's again, very demanding and, you know, to a certain extent, even dangerous work. When we work in occultism, we've got to be ready for strange things, strange to our normal state of consciousness and those militant attacks that do occur. But then the time will come when humanity as a whole will mount an attack against glamour. We're beginning this, and others like ourselves and various groups are beginning this kind of attack on glamour. But in a few hundred years, it's going to be really very strong. But hang in there, you'll have a number of incarnations, you know, and you'll have incarnations and you'll participate in this war for the sake of the soul and the hierarchy. We're all warriors, you know, and there's Scorpio again, behind the warriors, twixt the light and dark, that's us, blazes the light of hierarchy. You know, Scorpio is the warrior. Warrior I am, and from the battle I emerge triumphant. Each one of us is that in our own way, fighting on behalf of the divine plan and fighting in outer ways and in inner and subtle ways, which are even more important. So get used to it. We're in the Scorpio flow of energy at the present time, and it's a tough road, but we have to do that, because if we don't do that, humanity as a whole will really suffer more than it has to. So, you know, onward and upward, we will do our job. Okay, friends, so let's, we're dealing with fear. And we're dealing with fear. And with the dissipation of the fear vibration and the method of being connected with the soul in such a way that the fear is flushed out of us. That's the key. That's the key. All right, so let's begin. And I say, you know, when you start your own groups doing this in your own place, and you know, working with fewer people and so forth, you can follow exactly what the Tibetan has here, you know, the naming of the group members and the 10 minutes of silence and so forth. Right now, we'll have some silence. I think we can feel the power growing in the silence as we are coming together as soul-infused personalities. Not entirely soul-infused, but, you know, on our way. And we're offering ourselves to the hierarchy, to the ashram, to help with the dissipation of glamour, obviously in our own lives, it's a private matter, and in the larger sense. So let us use the protective formula, which we do need, and we use that cross of divinity, you know, draws the eyes, and we will say this together as we imagine this cross. cross of light being created, and it will, because we are working in the light, it will protect us and protect the work we are doing. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. So it's as if this cross is blazing from your forehead to your chest, between your eyes, in light, and it is a protective mechanism. And now we bring the three aspects of light together. We raise up the light of matter to the level of the mind, and we work with the light of the mind also, and then bring down the soul light from the higher mind into the lower mind. So the three aspects of light will become one. So first we raise up the etheric physical light, to the mental plane, using the imagination, and the reasoning mind, the light of the reasoning mind, we focus together with the light of matter. And we meditate upon soul contact, and in our own way we recognize soul light. And we bring down the soul light into the place within the lower mind, fourth subplane, where the light of matter and the light of lower mind are fusing, and bring in the soul light. Now the three lights are as if one, and we see the three as one through the use of the creative imagination. And then, with this in mind as a triple light, which is a single light now, we say together the following. Well, I'll say it. The light is one, and in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. Oh. And we remember, very important at this time, that the light of Scorpio is called the light of day. It's the day that the intuition creates on the Buddhic plane, when once we have knelt in humility and have lifted our Hydra into the pure, illusion-dispelling, glamour-dissipating, Maya-dispersing intuition. Then we approach the formula, and as we do so, we are visualizing our searchlight, our light transformed into a searchlight, which extends outward onto the astral plane. So we're going to say together, as we visualize our revelatory weapon, the great beam, the group beam, arising from the group Ajna center, we will say, radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. And we see that group beam brilliant, like the horn of the unicorn, extending into the astral plane, where we can use it together to weaken, dissipate, dispel, cast out the glamours of the astral plane, and especially the glamour with which we are working, the glamour of fear, in whatever form it may arrive. The names of fears are legion, but the general idea is to dispel the energy which causes any one of those many varieties of fear. We're going to strengthen our beam with the spiritual will. Who's to say where it descends from, but in the microcosmic system, from the monad, through the atmic plane, through the jewel and the lotus, through the synthesis petals, through the sacrifice petals, through each one of the petals in the love and knowledge area that carries the will into the head center, into all the various chakras, especially the jewel in every chakra, the spiritual will descends. And it will strengthen our beam so that our beam will become irresistible and effective. And we will say together, With power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. Brilliant, powerful beam to dissipate the glamour of fear. We'll use the three words of power, and as we do, we will visualize the weakening, the penetrating into the glamour and the weakening of the glamour and the dissipation of the glamour. The general glamour of fear, whether it's fear of death or fear of pain or fear of failure or fear of the future, or any of the other fears, and so here we say the words of power as we visualize the effectiveness of our beam. The power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of fear. The power of our united light negates the quality of the glamour from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life behind the glamour. And in the silence that follows, 5 minutes of silence, we're going to work with intensity of purpose, seeing the work proceeding. So in your own way and in the silence, with intensity of purpose, see the destructive dissipating work occurring with respect to the glamour of fear. And so as a group, we have the confidence that using this suggested occult method of visualization, we have contributed something to the dissipation of this dreadful inhibitory glamour, the glamour of fear. However it may afflict different human beings and even afflict ourselves, we're weakening it. We're weakening it. We're helping to dissipate it, and the sun of fearlessness shines forth. The sun of fearlessness shines forth. Eventually it will be completely so for each one of us. We will conquer. We are the scorpionic warriors in the human hierarchy. We will conquer and stand forth in fearlessness. So we withdraw our beam. Here we can use the breath back from the astral plane and back onto the mental plane where the triple light is there. We shut off the beam. And what the Tibetan calls the searchlight of the soul is, for the moment, shut off. And we all together will sound the Om on the love wisdom note, the G. We'll sound the Om 3 times. Good, thank you. You know, we persist, we work every week on into the foreseeable future. I'm handling the Ask webinars this week. There'll be a broadcast tomorrow. Tuya is not available for these this week, but she'll be back. And tomorrow will be the Soul of Nations, Destiny of Nations webinar, where we're presently addressing emergencies in the human family. It will be same time. And then 5 a.m. on Sunday, GMT, attracting money for hierarchical purposes. We just keep working subjectively, and we will accomplish something for humanity and for the hierarchy. So thank you, everybody, for your participation. And, you know, as usual, Brett will get this up on Makara. And if you, you know, find yourself in a position where you miss one of these meditations, you can always go to Makara and play it and participate, because, you know, time and space are not quite rigid when we deal with inner work. So thank you very much for your attendance, your participation, and this will be available to you. Let's forge ahead. Warriors are we, and from the battle we emerge triumphant, and we're moving towards the time when we see the goal, we reach that goal, and then we see another. Every month we build up the causal body by using the particular energies available at the time of the full moon. And we're doing our work, right? Let's keep doing it. Okay, many blessings, lots of love, and we'll see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow for some of the emergency work in the world. There's plenty to handle. A lot of people are in trouble, and we work on the inside to try to alleviate that. Okay, bye-bye.